This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Beat me up on the mamas of all mama shit.
Hey, I'm looking through my telescope and I see a mothership. Is that you? Beam me up.
Hey, DA, I'm thirsty, man. Could you beam me up for a cold one?
Hey, DA, what's going on, baby? Stop me off and beam me up.
DA, what's the silly? Oh, permission to get in that mothership.
Is my window seat still available? Beam me up.
What's going on, DA? Hey, man, I need you to do me a huge favor. My coworker's a jerk. Oh, just beam me up, man.
Get beamed up. Everyone else has. It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Happy Thursday! It's the DA show on CBS Sports Radio. Major League Baseball in full swing tonight. The NBA reopens, and then Saturday the puck drops on the Stanley Cup postseason. We're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. When you want the ability to adjust your loan options in real time, Rocket can. It's Bogish and myself, Merez, as the summer of DA continues with his wraparound weekends, because the guy doesn't know how to take a full week off at any point. But hey, the way he chooses to take his time off is none of my business. Bogey, good morning. Hello. Happy Thursday. Good to continue and trek on. Andrew Kaplan's got us covered at WatchDA.com and Twitch. Twitch us. Just Twitch us. And I believe we're working out some of the stuff here, but I have downloaded Twitch, and I might be able to, in commercial breaks or during the show starting next week, if you watch the show on Twitch, talk to some of you guys, the listeners. Yes, why not? Put more work on my plate, and then I'm sure I'll get bashed and say, well, it's part of your job. You never do any more work. But hey, that's me. I keep putting more work on my plate with absolutely zero credit. But what could you do, folks?
I got to go back to DA for a second here. Enough about you for the moment. I feel like the lesson to be learned, really where the criticism now for DA is about this scheduling kind of situation we're in.
Yes.
I too would agree that why not just take 1 week off and really reset, as opposed to doing these long weekends after long weekends. But at least like pick up a calendar and see what's happening, and maybe take off Monday and Tuesday as opposed to Thursday and Friday, because now he missed the opening days of baseball last week, and he's missing the opening days of basketball this week, and I'm sure something else is happening next Thursday and Friday when he's off again that he wouldn't, like, had he been off this Monday and Tuesday, and I know that would then kind of take him away from reacting to the weekend, but there's no guarantee that there's going to be something that important to react to from the weekend, and you have to be here
right
Monday and Tuesday, especially when we're not doing football. The time to not take off is Thursday and Friday these last 2 weeks, and yet here he is taking off Thursday and Friday.
And if you're maybe new to the DA show and you don't get the bit here that me and Bogus talk about with DA and this time off, like we joked about last week, oh, baseball's here, up, DA's off. Basketball's back this week, up, DA's off. The thing is, by sheer luck, even not during NFL season, DA has happened to ahead of time try to schedule days off, and things have blown up in his face. I mean, the morning after the Odell Beckham trade, he was off. He's also not been aware sometimes about the dates of the NFL and NBA drafts and taken off the mornings
right
after them. You know, he went on a quick vacation in June and didn't realize, oh, that was going to be Game 7 of the NBA Finals, I believe it was. He missed that the morning after an NBA championship was clinched. He's had a lot of these moments, and then it just so happened his spring training trip back in March, he scheduled for a Thursday, Friday, and literally the night he leaves on a flight is the night that the sports world and our world as we knew it really shut down, and it was you and I, Bogus, hosting the DA show that next morning as we sat around an empty room and went, wait a minute, where did sports go and what do we do here? And DA wasn't there to react to that either, so it's just ironic that then he comes back. DA has done, I think, an awesome job. I think we all have. I really do. I think that when we look back at our days on the DA show, we're all men in rocking chairs. I think we will look back at the months of the pandemic in 2020 and go, I'm really proud of the work we all did together. And I really do mean that, not to get sappy. And DA was here every step of the way and sometimes maybe pounding us a little too hard on getting creative and doing things, but we'll always remember Mothership at the Movies instead of the other. But the moment we get a taste of sports coming back, and it's not just, hey, the week sports are coming back. The morning after that you should either be reacting or previewing that we're here on Major League Baseball starting and now the NBA restarting, DA's basically in Lake George drinking IPAs. I mean, that is essentially what has happened.
And some of those things that we laid out, you couldn't have planned for. Even if our good buddy Mark Malusis is tweeting about Odell Beckham Jr. trades, you don't know when it's actually going to happen. So missing that was bad luck. But he went to Peru the week of the NFL draft and just didn't realize that that week, like, that was on him. And we've had these two sets of dates, baseball starting and real NBA games starting, for weeks, if not a month now. And he's not going anywhere. He's just not working. He could have very easily just flipped these around and made the long weekend on the back end and said, and then been here for these three or four out of nowhere, finally important sports days.
But you know what? And here's the crux to peel back the curtain on the DA show. And here would be my beef with DA, who has been nothing but a loyal friend and colleague to me and to all of us for a long time, for me a little longer than you guys. He certainly helped
and
my
deeper
career
too,
evolve.
You should be careful here because you guys have a real relationship. Me and Peter are still on the periphery. And like, we have survived all changes in this morning. We're like cockroaches, me and Pete. Like, we're not going anywhere. But like, you're hitched to the DA train. You should let me take all the big swings.
There is no doubt in my life that 2013, when I started as a producer of the DA show, I still have the producer title, but I've been elevated to this co-host role here. And now when he's out, you know, take the co-hosting role and do it with you. And then I obviously had the Pork Store for a little bit, a shorter run show than even the Cavemen sitcom that came out. nonetheless, all of that I owe to DA. But DA, for as much as he brags and bashes me, by the way, for my lack of attention to detail, and he praises his attention to detail, you're talking about a guy who doesn't look at the calendar ahead of time when he takes days off. He doesn't. Like, you should know about the NFL trade. He just doesn't. That's not attention to detail. And Pete could back me up on this because I texted Pete and we got a good laugh about it. DA, we all have talked a long time when it came, okay, things are smoothing out here. The summer's here. We know we really can't travel that much, but we still need to take times off. That was from the company. All right? So we all say, okay, how could we best do this like a puzzle piece? You, myself, and DA and try. It's going to be impossible to nail it perfectly, but how could we schedule our days off to not overlap to make sure the DA show continues on with some of us? We put in our days off. He says, no problem. I won't take those days. We have our weeks off or whatever. It's the middle of July. It's after the 4th of July. He emails us and goes, guys, I finally figured out my summer days. Here's what I'm taking off. Sorry, Bogus, there's a little overlap here. And I remember reading that email going, and this is only like 2 weeks ago. We need to finally figure out your summer days. We've already had the 4th of July. And we all did this on Memorial Day weekend. Yeah, the middle of July, you go, you know what? Now I figured out when I want to take off. I mean, that is the lack of attention to detail, the stuff that he would crush me for. And he pays so much attention to the minute stuff of the show that the simple stuff in life on what days am I taking off completely slipped through the cracks with him.
On a grand opening of a grand opening of a hotel, he would renovate the lobby the day before.
Right. That's a good way to look at it, Pete. That's a good way to look at it.
And I'm glad you mentioned that email that ran down all the days, because when he wrote, Bogish, I'm sorry, I'm taking off, it's August 17th, and I know you're off, like, my bad. I didn't know how to read that as if, like, now I can't be off because he's off.
I read it that way. I read it as you better get your butt in there, and your response was, okay, I guess good. We're enjoying the Mraz and Connor Green show that day because you're not pinning that on me. I've been off for weeks because I took care of my business early.
I mean, that's our weekly trip to the Jersey Shore. That has been booked since like January or February when we thought the world would be normal. And then I even think our boss read it that way too, because he eventually wrote back like, I've had that day off for you for months. Like, you're in the clear. Don't worry about it. So, but I couldn't tell if that was like, sorry, you've got to come in now, or sorry, you're missing a chance to co-host. But either way, I was like, I don't know what to do with this, so I'm just going to stay off, and we'll go from there.
Scatterbrain DA. But, okay, now enough of that, and on to the NBA, because we do have Howard Beck coming up in a couple minutes. I did want to mention tonight, Lakers-Clippers. I know I've, basically poured cold water all over the Pelicans Jazz, that as much as I'll be into it, it doesn't really tickle me as much, and I'm not as excited for it. But Lakers Clippers, I could sink my teeth into tonight in a big way. Obviously, this is, you know, two teams that we probably expect to end up in the Western Conference Final, although in 2020, it shouldn't shock anybody if anything happens here coming up. But this is a big deal, and I will say this, LeBron having won a title with obviously Cleveland and obviously Miami, to be able to try to win a title with a third franchise, it's pretty unique, it's pretty crazy, especially to be the face of it. We've seen LeBron at his peak, we've seen LeBron do superhuman things, but because the Lakers didn't make the playoffs last year, and because we've gone through a whole spring without basketball, it's been a really long time since we've seen really important LeBron James games, which is kind of crazy. And LeBron is going to continue to get older here. We've passed the peak of his career, but he's still more than capable of being an MVP. And Bogish, I would say this. LeBron in a bubble, yes, you'd like to see him in Staples Center with celebrities sitting front row, and obviously the aura of what could have been this postseason with, you know, Kobe's jersey hanging in the rafters and everything that happened. We don't get that. But to have this much time off. Remember, he didn't play the deep playoff rounds of last year like we see every year. Then he has kind of a shortened season. And now, again, all this time off in the pandemic, to come back here and have an 8-game, basically, light sprint to a postseason, I really feel like I don't think it's going out on a limb. We might see the best LeBron James for the next 2.5 months that we have ever seen, just because how much fresher can he be and how much more motivated can he be, you know, living amongst all the teams he's playing in a bubble, seeing these guys all the time, and also he's self-aware to know that he's not getting any younger. I think there's a good chance starting tonight and up until October 7th or whenever the NBA Finals are, if the Lakers happen to make it there, we will see the best LeBron James we have ever seen in his career, and I think the best LeBron James that we will ever see. I think this will be the peak of when we look back at LeBron, you're going to remember the Cleveland title and everything. I don't think we will ever be able to witness this LeBron again past this year. So I am looking forward the most to LeBron James in the next 2.5 months because of how fresh he should be.
So we can see the best LeBron that's possible in 2020 because he's fresh, but he's not young. And those miles are still there on that NBA body. So I don't know if he could be the best LeBron ever, but he could be 100% of current LeBron. And this is one of the, and it was not a deep thought, but I've said it from going back to the last fall leading into this season, the worst news for the NBA, the rest of the NBA, was LeBron's shortened previous season, because now he was rested and he was motivated. And now you sprinkle in this second little mini hiatus, and he is geared up, ready to go. And while he may not clearly be peak LeBron, I still think he has the ability to be a singular difference maker in any series. Everything is different when he is at full strength, and he's at, as far as we know, full strength right now. So I've always thought the Clippers were the best team on paper in the Western, in the NBA, and that still might be the case, but after we see these seeding games and see a round or two of the postseason, I might tell you that the Lakers are going to beat them if they see themselves head-to-head when we get to whatever that would be, August or September.
I agree. I cannot wait. And look, and honestly, the same could probably be said for Kawhi Leonard, because remember, we saw him do superhuman things in Toronto last year.
Absolutely.
Off plenty of games off in the regular season, but this is just such a unique opportunity for LeBron to have not had the mileage of last year's postseason, then to play on a really good Laker team, and then get these 4 months off, although there was always reports of them with the secret practices and whatnot, but the beatings and constant pounding on LeBron aren't there, that I expect him to basically jump out the gym. And I would say this, if you're a fan of LeBron and you're a fan of the comparisons and everything like this, even if what Bogus is saying is right, and maybe I'm over-exaggerating that we'll see the best LeBron ever, even if we've already seen the best LeBron ever, I could promise you this. You won't get a better version of LeBron after this run than you will get in this bubble. I think this is the – not that you can't see him win more titles, but this is the last greatest LeBron we will see, in my opinion, because of all the variables adding up and all the freshness. That's where I lie with that.
By the way, I saw him the other day, and it was annoying. I'm sure other people were even more annoyed by it than I was, but he was sitting on a throne doing his, like, post-game media availability, and I, you know, whatever. Spare me that kind of stuff. But I need to get a glimpse. I need to see what LeBron's hotel setup is, because there's no way he's in a run-of-the-mill room. So he's got to be in one of the fancier... there would normally be a butler. I mean, did they do, because I wouldn't put it past him either to have, like, almost like that rock star list of, like, requirements. Like, that's got to be, whatever it was, as high end as it was to begin with, like, that's got to be souped up even on top of that, right? Like, there's, the LeBron people are forwarding a list of requests. Like, this has to be in LeBron's room, right?
He definitely has a suite with definitely some extra stuff, whether that be extra TV channels or, I mean, there's only so much you could do.
Does he have a tunnel to the outside?
Right. His own personal chef maybe up there through the kitchen?
Well, I think that is true. I think we know that, which is why it was included in the agreement, was that you can pay for somebody to come cook for you. And that screams him, no doubt.
No doubt. All right, well, we come back, we'll talk to Howard Beck about everything NBA bubble as the restart starts, and plenty more. The NBA season ready to re-tip. That's next on CBS Sports Radio.
It's new on CBS.
We've got it all together.
It's the DA Show on CBS Sports Radio.
That's right, it is the DA Show. It's Mraz and Bogus as the summer DA continues. The NBA is back and ready to tip off tonight with a double dip. The Pelicans and Jazz, the Lakers and Clippers. And who better to celebrate the opening of the NBA season with than Howard Beck, senior NBA writer for Bleacher Report. Howard, good morning. Thanks for joining Andrew and I. Hope you're ready for some hoops tonight.
Good morning, guys. Yes, absolutely.
So let's just start here. We just were talking a little bit a while ago, Clippers and Lakers. Obviously, that's a little more juicy for us tonight than the Jazz and Pelicans. Bogus and I just had a little bit of a disagreement on, will we see the best LeBron ever based off no postseason last year, based off a four-month layoff here? Now, Father Time has to be catching up to him a bit. Where do you think LeBron stands as far as freshness and the peak ability that we will see LeBron at over the next 3 months?
I think we'll probably largely see the same LeBron we saw in March, and he was playing like an MVP then, so I don't think there should be any difference now. Obviously, as you note, he's fresh. Everybody's fresh. Based on scrimmages that we've seen televised over the last week, it seems like most guys, LeBron included, are in rhythm and in shape. Now, obviously, with LeBron, given his work ethic, you expect he's in shape. The question has generally been whether, you know, the rest of the league and a lot of other guys, you know, top to bottom on rosters would come in, what kind of shape they would come in. But I think we'll see the same LeBron we were seeing before this all stopped. I think the big concern is that nobody's been playing at this level, competing, practicing, everything else for 4 months, and basketball shape is different than just other shape. And so will the NBA, you know, have a spat of injuries in these early games as they get moving? Like, that's the bigger concern, and that's obviously an even more pronounced concern if you are at the age that LeBron is. But, you know, look, performance-wise, I don't think anybody should have any doubts.
Howard, short of injuries, what about load management, I guess, especially in these 8 seeding games for the elite teams who are just playing for how they're going to line up, even at that? So LeBron, Kawhi, do you think these guys are going to go all out as if they would in a regular season game, or will teams still kind of slowly bring them along here, protect them so they're fully ready to go for the actual playoffs?
Let's be clear. These are glorified exhibition games. These games matter in the standings, but it's eight games. The Lakers would have to screw up royally to lose the number one seed. If you're a team that's still jockeying for position, and you know, even jockeying for position, there's no home court advantage to pursue, but you might want to change where you are in the standings, especially if you're, you know, the Dallas Mavericks. You might want to get out of the seventh seed and get up to six. So there are some teams that have something to play for. Obviously, there are a handful of teams chasing the eighth seed, mostly in the West. I don't know if the Wizards really have any chance in the East, although the Nets are such a mess. Who knows? But for most of these teams, these are exhibition games. They're glorified exhibitions. It's to get back in rhythm, to get tuned up, to get the feel of competition again. And when those eight games are over, six teams are going to go home, and the real teams will start playing the playoffs. And, you know, until then, yeah, you don't want to get LeBron or Anthony Davis or Paul George or Kawhi Leonard or Giannis, any of these guys, you don't want them getting injured. Yes, there will be, I think, a limit on minutes for guys. No, I don't think we're going to see the same level of intensity for this games as you might, as you hope you would in a few weeks when we get to the playoffs.
Howard Beck joining us from Bleacher Report. I got to be honest, Howard Beck just made the decision on whether I should go to bed at halftime of Lakers Clippers tonight. Very easy, based off calling them glorified exhibitions. Howard, as far as the actual whether this goes chalk or not, there's no way of knowing, and I understand that this is all unpredictable. How teams react in the bubble, where focus is. But, prior to this, obviously it felt like we were steamrolling towards Lakers, Clippers finding their way in a West Final. Do the Bucks end up there versus either the Lakers or Clippers? Are you still expecting more of the same? And if not, is there a team maybe ranked, from the four seed down that you think could surprise and make a deep run here in the bubble in Orlando?
Talent rules in the NBA. Always. And the only thing that changes that formula or that truth is the unknown. The unknown in this case, maybe soft tissue injuries or something else that befalls one of the top teams. Maybe the virus intrudes on the bubble, although so far so good. But there's no reason to really believe that a team with LeBron and Anthony Davis or a team with Kawhi and Paul George healthy or a team with Giannis at its center, there's no reason to believe those teams are going to be any less dominant than they were when the season ended. Now, the unknowns are, we don't know what impact it will really have on teams psychologically and otherwise to have no home court advantage, to have no away disadvantage. And actually, there are guys in this league who sometimes say, look, I love playing on the road. Like, I love the hostile crowd. That right. gets me going. Role players tend to struggle on the road. Superstars often thrive on the road. But we just don't know how any of these things are going to affect anybody. And the general environment, the longer they're down there, sequestered and cut off from the world, there's no telling how that'll affect anything. So the favorites should still be the favorites. It's still the three teams everybody was talking about. But it truly is a case of, we just don't know how all of these weird circumstances are going to impact these teams until it actually happens. Talent still should rule out, rule in the end, but who knows? Quick couple footnotes on that, though. All things being equal, not accounting for the unknown, I don't think there's really any challenge to the two LA teams in the West. I think those two teams are far and away the best two teams. In the East, I don't think it's as clear, and I never did even before the season was suspended. I think Toronto and Boston have a legit shot. I think if Philly gets their chemistry together, they can be in the mix. I even think Miami could be in the mix. I think any of those teams in Milwaukee could come out of the East.
Wow. Howard, I'm glad you mentioned the Sixers, because we spent so much time during the regular season wondering why they couldn't get it together. Can they get it together? Why are they good at home, not on the road? I can't tell if this situation, no one really can, but I wonder what maybe your first thought just is on this weird situation, maybe kind of forcing them to be together and taking away home and road splits. Maybe this actually is better for them than it might be for other teams.
Look, there's two sides to this six-er equation. They were terrible on the road, and they were awesome at home. So which is going to help them or hurt them more, the lack of road games or the lack of home games? Again, these are the things that there are no answers to until they start playing games. More important than that is they now have a healthy Simmons and a healthy Embiid. More important is that they figure out the chemistry between those guys and the role players there, because they've got, you know, ample talent on this team, and those are two top 15 players. You know, Joel Embiid, I don't think will make all NBA this year because he didn't play enough games and you know, was a little off this season in general. But under normal circumstances, those guys are both all NBA players. And when you have that, plus guys like Tobias Harris and Josh Richardson, like, it's a good group. It's a solid group. Al Horford, they're a little oddly constructed, and they had to work through some of that during the season, trying to figure out, is Al Horford, you know, best, you know, in the starting lineup or off the bench. You know, they're now tinkering with the whole Ben Simmons power forward thing. We'll see how that works out. So they're the team, you know, if we looked at just talent, you'd say this is one of the teams that should be a contender, but they're the one with the most volatility of that group.
Howard Beck joining us, senior NBA writer for Bleacher Report. You know, kicking things off tonight, or tipping things off tonight, the Pelicans and Jazz, and there was a lot reported on between Donovan Mitchell and Rudy Gobert and their chemistry and everything that happened after the coronavirus first started. Should we expect the same Utah Jazz team that was a lot of fun to watch and chemistry was working so well, or do you think the Jazz are going to come out a little bumpy and things are very frosty still in that locker room?
Well, things can be frosty and still effective. I don't think their relationship is as important as their chemistry, and those things don't necessarily have to be the same thing. These things operate on a number of levels. I think the fact that the league was suspended for 4 months actually hurt the Jazz in this regard, because the bad feelings about the virus and about was Rudy, you know, too cavalier about it and all that, that happens, and then they all go away. The league shuts down. Everybody's on their own. There's no chance to work it out. There's no chance for that daily contact. For any of us, you know, when you know, with friends, coworkers, whatever, there's tensions, and then you got to keep going. You got to keep working together. You got to still show up to the office the next day, and you patch things over. You work it out. Your teammates, you know, your coworkers, they're there to help it. Hey, guys, we got to get this thing back on track. None of that could happen. So I think the fact that this actually has lingered longer is partially because there was no basketball. There was no way to work it out. There was no environment that forced them together. So this is interesting now. I mean, they'll downplay it, as players always do. And whether or not those chemistry issues or personality issues are enough to screw up the Jazz or even force the breakup of that twosome remains to be seen. We'll see how they go. But I mean, as of right now, I would say the bigger concerns for them going into the restart are not those two. The concerns are that they don't have Bojan Bogdanović because of surgery that he needed during the shutdown, and that Mike Conley, you know, wasn't looking like the old Mike Conley during the first part of the season. We'll see if he can get it back. But, you know, I think they have bigger issues right now than whether or not their stars can get along.
Howard, before we leave the Jazz, the rest of the show was giving me crap earlier because I expressed my basketball crush on Joe Ingles. They think it's outlandish that I would like Joe, but tell them why they're wrong and I'm right.
I don't know what the basis for that debate was. So, but I mean, look, really good player, funny dude, great personality, teammates like him, nice secondary ball handler, can shoot a bit. What's not to like?
Yeah, exactly. Well, my point was, I have a soft spot for guys who are like unassumingly good. Like, he doesn't look like an NBA player. He looks like a guy that I would play with in the local gym, but here he is out there being a very useful NBA player, and I like guys like that.
I don't know where the debate.
All right, I'll stay on this island.
Point to that debate is, but you know,
Howard, I'll just tell you this: you've been in plenty of NBA arenas and covered a bunch of games. Bogish, what started this whole debate was he is apparently so excited for the Jazz game that he has spent the last couple of weeks going online looking to buy replica Utah Jazz shorts to wear on the couch. And we said for a 40-year-old man to be wearing not just the jersey, but the shorts. I mean, if you've seen any of these people walk around the arena with the jersey and the shorts on, we find it to be a little disturbing. And then this led into his whole Joe Ingles debate. We're just very worried about Bogut's mental health as a kid from New York. Really worried about the Jazz that much. He's searching shorts on Fanatics. I think it's a little disturbing.
Well, when you grow up on the Knicks, it'll have that impact on you.
Great answer. Howard Beck, you can catch him. All his work on Bleacher Report, senior NBA reporter there. He contributes a lot to SiriusXM as well. He's one of the best. Give him a follow. Howard Beck on Twitter. Howard, thanks so much for joining us. Appreciate it. Enjoy the basketball and the glorified exhibitions tonight, man. Take care.
You got it, guys. Thank you.
Take care. Thanks, Howard.
Howard Beck joining us. Boy, he wanted no part of your Joe Ingles answer.
No, not
and
even
by
a
the
little
way,
bit.
You know, we led the show with Joe Kelly as well, and then we did the second hour about your excitement level in the NBA. And then you get to the third question, Howard Beck. He's like, these are just glorified exhibition games. Basically, we've waited 4 months to play basketball. And one of the guys I think is like the prestigious guy who covers the NBA in the league is Howard Beck. And here he's telling you, who cares about the next 8 games? I mean, honestly, what are we doing here? And I had all, you know, we talked about all the show, double TVs, the sports weekend, sports Shangri-La. Boy, can't wait to break down the NBA tomorrow. And he's basically like, I mean, who cares about Lakers Clippers tonight? So, yes, I was planning on staying up till midnight, 1 a.m., whenever that game ends. But now, after talking to Howard, I feel like I could kick the bucket a little early as far as going to bed goes tonight.
Well, I mean, much like Dodgers-Giants last week when I was hoping to see the first 3 innings, if I get to 10 o'clock tonight on Lakers-Clippers, I'll be impressed with my mental and physical fortitude. Because, like, what are we going to glean from any of these games tonight? Unless Zion goes for 50 and you go, okay, well, he's here, and now the one of the few minor bits of drama is the final spot in the West. Maybe this is a good sign for giving us that. But like, unless LeBron or Kawhi gets injured tonight, even if one of those teams wins by 50, it's not going to really change what you think is going to happen when the games actually matter. I mean, this, and I've never wanted to be picky or, like, unthankful for NBA games getting back, but the fact that they're giving us 8 games that really don't accomplish much, and the only reason why we're getting them, by the way, is the manufactured drama about those 8 seeds, and partially, too, don't forget to satisfy local TV contracts, so they get all of their money from those because they had to guarantee, those are all guaranteed on like 70 or 71 or 72 games. So these 8 will get everybody well past that threshold. I mean, it's not necessarily for pure competition. This is about business and bumping up Zion. And for the most part, guys are just going to go through the motions hoping to survive at full strength for, you know, 3 weeks from now when we have real games that actually matter. At least hockey starts with business right out of the gate for most NHL teams.
Yeah. I would say Howard Beck is, if you were leaning hockey or NBA and having that debate, Howard Beck, who covers the NBA, basically made that decision pretty easy for you this weekend.
Yeah.
All right, folks, what do you got for the final update of the morning?
This one is sponsored as well by Ace Hardware. This Saturday only, you can pick up a free sample of Benjamin Moore at your local Ace. Offer valid August 1st for Ace Rewards members, limit 1, at participating stores while supplies last. As we have discussed more than once this morning, the ACC is going with a 10-plus-1 football schedule. 10 league games, 1 non-conference game, and much to Sean's chagrin, they are welcoming in Notre Dame for all of that. The Irish will play this full ACC schedule and even be eligible for the ACC title game if we get to there in December. The SEC, meanwhile, has meetings today. Presidents will be given multiple scheduling ideas, and maybe, but probably not, they pick one today. SEC ADs said to be on board with playing just inside the conference this year. I should probably mention once this morning that the Yankees did finally win a game in Baltimore last night. Camden Yards had become their personal hell with the O's, so good for so many years now, but this year's Bombers persevered at least last night, 9-3. Now, on a non-petty note, the Yankees are in Baltimore because they can't play the Phillies this week. They voted as a team to rearrange their schedule this way. Here's Aaron Judge.
We've always stayed ready. You know, we've been, that was our mindset going into this. We knew it wasn't going to be a normal year, no matter what. We knew things were going to happen. There's going to be stoppages, crazy travel. So it's nothing that we're not prepared for. And, you know, we're ready to go back out there and, you know, play another game in Baltimore and get back to
And by the way, we haven't mentioned this yet this morning either. The Orioles had a moment of silence and a long PA address about Mo before that game last night, and almost brought me to tears with the caption of their tweet when they sent the video out, that they said over the PA system that Mo finally gets to see the Orioles for the first time.
Ah, it's terrible.
I mean, it's just – but again, that city and that organization, the outpouring of support that they have shown for Mo and his family has been remarkable. Back to the baseball field, the Phillies will now resume their season with a doubleheader with the Jays on Saturday, not single games, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And the Marlins have reportedly added a 16th player to their list of positives. As for last night's action in Houston, no issues this time between the Dodgers and Astros. LA won 4-2 and 13 on an Edwin Rios two-run homer in that 13th inning. The Twins, a 3-0 win at home over the Cardinals. The White Sox, a 4-0 win in Cleveland. And the Nats beat the Jays 4-0 in 10. That game was in D.C., but Toronto, technically the home team because their stadium in Buffalo is not ready for them just yet. On actual NL grass, the Giants got a 7-6 win over the Padres on Mike Yastrzemski's game-winning solo homer bottom nine. The Braves snapped the Rays' four-game winning streak 7-4. And in Milwaukee, a 3-0 win in Pittsburgh. The Pirates off to a 2-4 start. They're hitting 171 as a team. Get excited for that NBA action later today. It begins Pelicans and Jazz around 6:30 Eastern. Zion Williamson likely out there to help New Orleans negate all that is Joe Ingles. Zion practiced again yesterday. The team says the final decision is up to their medical personnel. Anthony Davis says he is good for the Lakers-Clippers game tonight. He was back at practice yesterday wearing glasses after getting poked in the eye last weekend. And the Rockets now saying, but unofficially, that Eric Gordon could miss 2 to 3 weeks with the sprained ankle he picked up two nights ago in their final scrimmage. MLS quarterfinals begin tonight. Sporting KC and the Philadelphia Union at 8 Eastern. And last night in the WNBA, number one pick Sabrina Ionescu, 33 points, 7 rebounds, and 7 assists in her second career game. But her New York Liberty lost to the Dallas Wings 93-80. Sean, back to you.
Bogus, CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, 855-212-4227, is sponsored by Geico. Did you know that right now Geico is offering an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies? That's on top of what Geico could already save you. So what are you waiting for? Visit geico.com to learn more. Okay, so if Howard Beck's still listening, we get into more of the Joe Ingles love with Bogus next. We have a deep analytics here, advanced analytics, on would you buy a pair of Team NBA shorts, because Bogus has been researching that, plus your epic fail, which centers around Bogus. It's Bogus, 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 and more Bogus on the DA Show on CBS Sports Radio. All of that comes up next.
No one knows what analytics is. They think it's like a bunch of nerds doing math, which I don't know, maybe that's what it is.
It's time now for the Mothership's Advanced Analytics.
We asked this morning after Bogus had admittance that online he's been looking for Utah Jazz replica shorts, and then he ended up breaking out fake hockey shorts and fake net shorts. Not jerseys, not team short, not team shirts. Not hats. We're talking about shorts, folks. Would you ever buy replica NBA team shorts? Twitter, 20% join Andrew Bogus with yes. No, a resounding 80% on Twitter think Bogus is a loser. Facebook, even worse numbers to support Bogus's case. 18% of the people on Facebook, to find folks who listen to the show, say yes, while 82% say no. And again, Bogus, loser. Here's some facts that our analytics team dug up. A Michael Jordan game-worn uniform from 1996 to 1997 championship season recently sold at an auction for $288,000. Okay, but that's Michael Jordan and he actually wore it. That's still a lot of money. And again, you know what? If you're one of these people that bids thousands of that, like that much money, you got way too much money. A pair of Joe Ingles game-used white shorts from the 2017-18 season, one that Bogus would love to have. They're available right now, Bogus, right now. $199 on eBay. Think about it. One less night on the Jersey Shore, it's a drop in the bucket for you. Go buy those English shorts.
Yeah, see, I need to defend myself here again because you have taken this and completely bastardized my affection for Joe Ingles. I don't want to be Joe for Halloween. I'm not going to go to whatever they call the arena in Salt Lake now in full Joe Ingles gear. What I have thought about buying was a Joe Ingles t-shirt jersey, of which you have many of, by the way. So yes. You can't throw any stones in that regard. And some of them are completely unacceptable that you own.
Many of them.
I know you're some of them were given to right you. Now. Right. So you've got plenty of these. If I have one, you can't hold it against me. And the shorts that I wanted that I have yet to buy, the Utah Jazz 2019-20 Statement Edition Swingman shorts in gold, by the way. Beautiful. But they're $80. And here's again the problem. I go to the website and it says use code SCOOPS for up to 70% off site-wide. Ooh. Oh, maybe today's my day. I pick the shorts. I put them in my cart. I go to checkout. I put in SCOOPS. We are unable to apply a discount to your order because your items are excluded from this promotion. So I'm back at square one. My love for the Jazz and Joe Ingles has bounds. I am not spending $80 on Utah Jazz shorts.
But $199 and knowing that Joe Ingles boys could be where your boys are, that's a fantastic investment.
The problem is Joe Ingles, I think, is almost 7 feet tall, so his boys and my boys, I don't know, would line up correctly in those shorts, right? Like, there'd be a lot of sag to where his were and mine would be in that scenario. And really, the goal at this point, Sean, is to have Joe hear this, be made aware of it, and send me shorts because now we're friends.
We might be able to make that happen. And Bogus' love for Ingles and his shorts, that's today's epic fail.
Even the DA show is not perfect. We know. Shocking. Here's the epic fail.
Is there anybody besides Andrew Bogus and his wife who loves Joe Ingles?
Listen,
nobody.
I have always had a soft spot for unathletic looking guys being athletic. And Joe Ingles looks like a guy, aside from being as tall as he is, he looks like a guy that would be holding court in like your local, you know, your local gym.
Let it rip!
He's the coolest guy in the gym basketball court, or he's the first one at the playground trying to stay on court all day long. Yet here he is in the NBA shooting threes, rebounding. He's a great passer.
White chocolate!
Those are guys that I've always had a soft spot for, and Joe Ingles is my current guy on that list. And I've actually, this is not a lie, now I have not pulled the trigger on it yet, but I have been at the Jazz team store looking for like a Joe Ingles t-shirt jersey, but couldn't find it on that trip.
I had nothing to do with it.
I might have to go double back and get one for the restart here and really show my love for this guy.
You've got to come back with me!
Bogus, if Joe Ingles walked into the CBS Sports Radio newsroom tomorrow, I would absolutely think he was some new hire tape op that was going to give Bilotti a hard time by not submitting his days off on time. And you're searching the Jazz team store to get his t-shirt. I mean, come on, have a little grip here.
Losing his mind.
Dude, I love the Jazz uniforms. I've almost bought their yellow game shorts. I've almost pulled the trigger on those too.
Playoffs?
They're like my Western Conference team right now, yeah.
I can understand buying a shirt or jersey. You're gonna buy the game shorts?
Well,
you
I did, because they're ridiculously expensive. No, even the knockoff ones are like $80, and I can't bring my, even with like coupons, stuff like that, free shipping from Fanatics.com, couldn't bring myself to do it. But if money was not an issue, I'd have Jazz paraphernalia left and right over here.
Pepper needs new shorts!
Bro, I don't mean to make light of the mental health issue going on in this team. But the fact that you've now garnered enough coupons on Fanatics to research buying replica Utah yellow game shorts?
More than once.
I'm starting to worry for you, bro. I am starting
to worry. If they ever go on sale, they're going to be mine.
Epic fail, you loser.
That is why you fail.
Epic fail.
I'm starting to picture Bogus basically in Celtic Pride 2 just kidnapping Joe Ingles to take him and have him sit in his room there where he does the show, have the landscapers come, wave at Joe, and just Joe be held hostage, and he's out of the NBA bubble, getting Lou Williams' wings shipped into Franklin Square in a Bogus. It'll be a whole thing. A whole thing. His love is very unaffectionate. Well, I don't know about you, Bogus, but my night has changed. I was excited for the NBA. Now they're just glorified exhibition, so I guess I'm back to baseball on TV tonight.
Sporting KC in Philadelphia Union, 8 o'clock. Can't wait.
Where's your focus lie tonight on TV?
Well, I mean, it's still the NBA's back. I'm gonna pay attention to it. I was never committed to being up as late as you were, so that's where your change is. It's not where mine is. I was already hoping just to see the beginning of Lakers-Clippers, so that probably is still the case for me.
We'll break it all down tomorrow. The NBA is back tonight. Bogish, pleasure again, as always. Tomorrow morning, I'll see you, brother.
All right, Tony, have a good day.
Thanks to Pete Bellotti on the Wheels of Steel, Andrew Kaplan, the Wizard of Watch, Ian James, Baccioni. Howard Beck is our guest as well. Baccioni, the executive producer today. The Mothership disconnects.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.